Translation. How is Pradyumna, the great general of Rishni family? Is he happy? And is Aniruddha, the plenary expansion of the personality of Godhead, faring well? Purport. Pradyumna and Aniruddha are also expansions of the personality of Godhead, and thus they are also Vishnu Tattva. At Dwaraka, Lord Vasudeva is engaged in his transcendental pastimes along with his plenary expansions, namely Sankarshan, Pradyumna, Aniruddha. And therefore, each and every one of them can be addressed as a personality of Godhead, as it is mentioned in connection with the same Aniruddha. Okay, let's see how far we're going to go. So yesterday in class is mentioned how Arjun was so devastated, and he was most dear friend to Krishna. So how difficult for him was actually to speak that to Maharaj Yudhishthira. And before he came, Maharaj Yudhishthira was, he couldn't dismiss that this was bad omens around. He couldn't. But inside of him, he kind of tried to push it away, and maybe there is some hope. I'm just waiting Arjuna, he will kind of pacify me. But when Arjuna arrived with this, he said there in such a morose face, so dejected, like never ever before seen, this was like another boulder on Yudhishthira's head. Because, for so many years they were together. And now established as a king, everything goes well. Okay, what's next? What's Krishna's plan? Krishna always sent some fun, some engagement for us. Great. Go and ask him, what is his plan? We want to be part of it. But where is Arjuna? A few months didn't pass. What's going on? Bad omens. So he concluded that Krishna is gone. It is horrible. And then when he saw Arjuna, his face, then he tried to push this away again and tried to go around. He couldn't ask directly, is it Krishna gone? He knew it, but, in the same time, tried to pacify, somehow make it Arjuna speak, just a little bit, give him some, But therefore, he was going around. How is queens? How is this palace? How is Akrura? How is this? How is that? A narrowing circle. Last verse was about asking about Balaram, now asking directly about Krishna's son and grandson, Pradyumna and Aniruddha. Therefore, he was going around, okay, how are Yadus? But Arjuna couldn't speak that. They're all dead. It was just like, what do you expect? He said, by the way, the other day we were talking about how Krishna disappeared, all this ridiculous story about killed by a hunter. Can you imagine, there's a battlefield there, dead bodies everywhere, corpses and smashed heads. They said that 560 million of Yadus were dead there on the battlefield. And so suddenly, hunter enters there, totally oblivious of all this scene, and looking for whatever hunt, it was like ridiculous. And then also deer, deers are very fearful. They can sense blood. They can, a deer came, supposedly came to this field, which probably not even one blade of grass without blood on it, and I was just peacefully grazing, deer, peaceful. And then lay down in bushes and put his head through the bushes, sleeping peacefully. And then hunter, oh, there is a deer. Boom. A ridiculous idea. And then he shot. He said, he even mentioned that he did not shot Krishna's foot, just touched him with his arrow, he shot in the ground. So just side point of all this. So they were all dead. How he could speak to Yudhishthira? So that's now we arrive to that slowly. I think next tomorrow will be verses or directly. Krishna is gone. Ah, pain, he just cannot. Okay, now we start. And where we start from? If you don't know where to start from beginning. is mentioned briefly in the verse about the expansions of Krishna. So, like, juggle a bit, who is Atanaruda, who is Pradyumna? He said that first element is create, not element, but something there was Pradhana, Mahavishnu. He created Pradhana. It's mentioned that this Pradhana is something absolutely indescribable. It's mentioned, there's a big verse in Srimad Bhagavatam. There was no moon, no stars, no universe, no three modes of nature, no senses, no three sides of consciousness, wakefulness, sleep, deep sleep. There was nothing there. It's absolutely, you cannot conceive what is that Pradhana. He says, like a voidness, which you cannot describe. Therefore, when we speak about point of creation from the view of anyone, empiristic philosophers, scientists, or voidists, they are more closer to truth than we can think. Their idea that source of life is nothing, or eventually matter, doesn't come just from atheism or from pride or whatever. Just if you could just trace creation back forth, even if you would be able to understand Mahatattva, we talk this later about that, and you have to stop there because beyond Mahatattva you can't conceive. Because Pradhana, he said, although it's unconceivable, like a void, is the base of entire creation. Like a pot, for example, you want to cook khichdi, you put empty pot on the stove. That's like Pradhana. It's a kind of void, but it's base for your supposedly khichdi. And then you throw all the ingredients, all spices in, cold water, and just sitting there. So this is called Mahatattva. When Mahavishnu glances over Pradhana, Pradhana against consciousness. Something happening there. Like you put a fire and all this which you put inside start to boil. There's a motion. So wherever you see there's some motion inside, something happening is symptom that consciousness is inside of that. So when Mahavishnu glances over Pradhana against the consciousness, and then it's not called anymore Pradhana, it's called Mahatattva, which is mixture of all modes of nature, all elements, all state of consciousness, all beings in this pot. So that's a Pradhana. Mahatattva, sorry. So what's a Bible version? In the beginning it was a sound. Sound was with man. No, sound was with God and God was sound. So I will just meditate a little bit. This could be either Om, Pranava, Sarvavedashu, Krishna says, or word Tapa, which Brahma heard. This is first sound vibration Brahma heard. It's Tapa, austerity. So it could be that referral of creation in the Bible is about Brahma as a sound of the beginning. Also, Krishna created first universes, created everything, light, sun and moon, and then Brahma came. So this is something else we don't need to go into such a studies. And in the beginning, when Brahma came, what was first entities Brahma created? Anyone knows? First entities Brahma created.
Cool.
Huh? Yeah. Four Kumaras. These are first entities. This is a side point, not much to do with the verse, but he said when Brahma was start to create, first thing he created, absolutely first thing he created, illusion and darkness which confuses living entities. And he was so dejected, he didn't like it, but he had to do this because Prabhupada said in Purport, it was verses that if he didn't create this illusion, most of the people who come to this world want to be in illusion, forget Krishna completely. He said then Krishna facilitate that forgetfulness for them, so that they glide down to the last point of life forms, so that they can see then, am I happy without Krishna or not? That's the only reason. This gliding down. Okay, whatever you want, you just go until you reach last point down. Prabhupada mentions some of that. Last entities, or the bottom scale is called, kind of insect called Indra. Indra Gopa, yeah? Indra Gopa. I don't know what is that, but maybe equivalent to amoeba, we call it, something like last point. So go up to this point and see are you happy or not, and then you have chance to climb. Okay. So at the beginning it was nothing, according to most of the experts, because they cannot trace what is, if they would be able to trace up to Mahatattva to understand behind, they just cannot see anything, because they cannot see Mahavishnu. This is for them a limit. You see, even if you would be able to understand all coverings of universe, up to Pradhana, that's it. Pradhana is the last covering of the universe as well. Pradhana. And not Pradhana, Mahatattva, sorry. So now imagine you have Earth, let's say, let's chat play a little bit. There's Earth, element Earth. And you have water, double. Each sacrescent, each covering is 10 times. Half size, or 10 times. Yeah. So can you imagine this one was at 10 times? Water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence up to here, to Goshala. And false ego. Oh, it's a big false ego. It's such a big false ego. It's from here up to Holland Far, maybe. And then Pradhana starts. So this is huge. And he said no light can penetrate through that Pradhana. Nothing can penetrate to this Pradhana. Any so-called entity, anything which we have idea of is from this universe. No one or nothing can go from other universe to our universe and vice versa. This Pradhana, Mahatattva, sorry, holds everybody. There's a crust of the universe, final crust. Nothing can penetrate. So if scientists would be able to go through this element, understand how they work, they would have to stuck within a Mahatattva, they will not be able to understand the Supreme. Therefore, they cannot conceive spiritual energy, spiritual abode, the spiritual creator, because it just doesn't fit in any sense perception. So that's one thing to understand just where they're coming from. Even if they want to know, if they don't adopt spiritual process, no way they can understand. So, now we have Chaturvyuha expansions from Mahavishnu. It's Vasudeva, then Sankarshan, then Pradyumna, and then Aniruddha from our verse. Sankarshan is Baladev, or Balaram, and then we have Pradyumna, Aniruddha. This Mahatattva, by the glance of Vishnu, is divided into three modes of nature. Each one of them have presiding deities. Presiding deity over Rajas is Pradyumna. Presiding deities over the mode of goodness is Aniruddha. And about ignorance, interesting enough, is Sankarshan. It's very interesting. Maybe I expect he's supposed to rule over mode of goodness. But he's presiding the deity of mood of ignorance. He said, he's mentioned sometimes the Lord Shiva worships Sankarshana constantly. And due to that, Sankarshana is sometimes called Tamasi, as a deity mood of ignorance. So, when this consciousness is divided, and we have these presiding deities, Aniruddha and Pradyumna ruling over mood of goodness and ignorance. And we have this Pramajyoti, which most of those who aspire to merge into Pramajyoti is mostly due to frustration. This world is too much, it's enough. How many of you ever think maybe I should have a break and merge into Pramajyoti for some time? Sometimes I'm thinking rather than going to a holiday or going to India, let me just kind of have a break from everything and merge for a few months in Brahmajyoti and then just have a break. So this idea is there in us, So The other day on the Brahmachari class upstairs, you talk about three types of renunciation that you mentioned. First one is to frustration, you're renouncing things. And another one, due to jnana, due to knowledge. That means you know spiritual matter, you know. So this is level of jnana, which we have to through this as well. And then another one, last one, is just due to love of Krishna. You don't care for jnana, karma. You just love Krishna. And naturally, it's not that you want to renounce. You're just not interested in anything. So this is up of renunciation. So most of us are on first, I guess. If at all we want to renounce, this is first one. So happy frustration in years to come. We have to start somewhere. So why Krishna makes entire creation, all this complex? I mean, if you are jnani, if you have brain for that, why would it create such a... If you read this, first of all, you cannot understand all these expansions, and it's kind of dry. But for those who have this mind, it's for them is to be, you know, to catch them, to think of that. And only reason why Krishna creates all this is just one single reason. Please tell me, why is that? Why does that? Come on. Quick one, one word. To make us happy. That's all. Can you imagine? So, all this so-called trouble, for him there's no trouble, of course. He comes and have fun as well in all this. Just for us. So how much, you know, inconceivable love is there? I hope someday I will appreciate at least. Have some drop of appreciation for that. And what all jivas anyway searching for, you know, all this material creation, for happiness. Whatever you do, whatever we do, is just we searching for happiness. All living entities, not just humans, see. And knowledge of that culminates in simple thing, because Prabhupada said, one who knows, for example, three Vishnus through his very tedious lifetimes and lifetimes study, creation, one who knows Mahavishnu, Kshirodakashay Vishnu, and Garudakashay Vishnu. One who knows them, he knows the Supreme. And then, slowly, after so many years, Vasudeva Saramiti, Samahatma Surlubha, Sudurlubha, that's the culmination. All this is described, Krishna's expansion, to catch your mind, so that on the end you can appreciate Krishna himself. So, also, Krishna is in his abode. Why he would bother with the jivas here? He has so much fun in his abode, he's eternal, you know. So, why he would come here, you know, like, he said that he feel insufficient. And this is his compassion. He feels down there somewhere in this material creation, the suffering jivas. I'm happy here, but let's give him a chance. And he never gives up. Just never gives up. This, that. Create everything. Come down. And come personally among us. And be in our heart. Make his abode. Just never gives up. Just to make us happy. Yeah. I said, Prabhupada said, Krishna is the only entity who is happy. Everywhere else is morose. He said, on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Krishna was joyly, and Arjuna was morose. So how to come to that, from first level to second, to have some jnana? I mentioned each class, I'm bugging your head with that, but the rapt attention in hearing, reading, chanting, this is what you bring there. Because if there is no rapt attention, either in studying or in chanting, you miss so much. You're just missing details. You know, just the other day, I mean, I have in my MP3 player, when I do something, I just hear lectures over and over and over. But what goes through my head when I do work and just goes, something, you know. Sometimes I catch some phrase, whoa, that's a good point. You have experience. It's God, something. You know. Because I have to sit and hear. So the other day, I mean, there is like maybe about 20, 30 some lectures in my MP3 for years. They go all over and over again. And then I remember again, you know, last lecture finished and first one started again, which I heard 5, 6 times, or 10 times maybe. Oh, again. Okay, let me kind of scroll. But I was thinking, just let me sit and hear. And I just realized, God's sake, I hear this so much time, so many times. But this lecture is so potent, the points which I missed. You know, so therefore, I just can you advise if you hear lectures or whatever, sit and hear one lecture a day. One lecture a day with rapt attention. Just drink this, whatever it is. So I did that. I was just so amazed with the lecture. It was a maybe 3-4 years old lecture. I will say name anyway. It's Kula Shekhar Prabhu's lectures. Kula, if you hear this, I'm just making points, sorry, to mention your name. Something about Madhara Muni's Vina. You probably remember that one. Somebody, Madhara Muni Vina is transcendental, given by Vishnu, whatever. And then goes on about many points, you know. It's incredible points, like, you know, like just so much food for thought. I was just thinking, that's a hearing, you know. You can hear from Bhakta Joe and be so amazed. That's a rapt attention. So without that, you just something. Transcendental vibration will kind of suit your mind, Mandy, but you will not get much benefit out of it. So we are meant actually to hear points and meditate all day with so much material, so much food for thoughts from reading, from studying, that we can absorb our mind all day just juggling around these points. That's the only purpose of Srimad Bhagavatam. Just to constantly absorb our mind and think constantly without stop. Raptly. That's the purpose. Even these descriptions, you know, a man who produces bhakti is like technical expansions. But it's meant to produce bhakti. Who would like to see Mahavishnu? Anyone would like to see Mahavishnu? Come on. He would be amazed to see. You know, even Arjuna said, oh, chatur, something, chatur, bhuj, whatever, what he says in, you know, show me your forehand and form, for short. Which is, this is amazing expansion, forehand and Vishnu, beautiful, glowing, bluish, with the yellow dot. Oh, I mean, you have descriptions there, beautiful. But what's the feeling there when you think of that form? Would be nice to see, wow, great. But what is feeling there? It's kind of reverential. It's like, but when I say, would you like to see Krishna? Anyone like to see Krishna? Is anyone? You don't want to see Krishna? I wish to say yes. I mean, I don't know what to say, but to see Krishna is just different. What's there? It's just a mellow. It's so personal, absolutely personal. If you have any friend who's personal with you, you have a glimpse of what Krishna is. Like, he's so here, whatever you say, and the response, why, and praising you, and okay, there's an exchange there. And Krishna is much more than, but it gives you idea what it means. So this mellow with Krishna, he mentioned that this, on the end, when Arjuna saw four-handed form and then wanted to see two-handed form, I was kind of tired of Mahavishnu, whatever, not Mahavishnu, but Narayana is saying four-handed form. Please show me your Manusharupam. Two-handed form is mentioned that this is the most enchanting form of Krishna, of Supreme, is a form of Krishna, two-handed. So then Arjuna was pacified on the end. So this is for us to understand what does it mean. What does it mean to bring to the point that, yeah, oh, Krishna, that's Samam Bonum, it's ultimate. Yeah. So all these technical descriptions are for those who have such a mind to juggle around, to come to the point. This is part of the plan of Krishna. He wants to make happy everybody. Those with scientific mind also, just bring them to this point. Manusharupam, two-handed form, Shamasundara, Radha Madhava. Wow. So now, all these expansions, and we have Pradyumna and Aruda, And I kind of come to assist personally in Krishna's pastimes. So this nature of this dry calculation, dry analyzing expansions changes the nature. These two, Anuruddha and Pradyumna, come to assist Krishna in this pastime. Pradyumna is a father of Anuruddha. And in Krishna book, he described these wonderful pastimes, so I can narrate maybe about Pradyumna. Pradyumna is son of Rukmini and Krishna. In former life, he was Cupid, Kandarpa, personified, meaning god of love. So when he was 10 days old only, he was taken by demon. I forgot his name, but only demon. Maybe everything here, I'm not sure. But yeah. It doesn't matter. He turned himself in the form of a woman and entered the quarters where Rukmini was and stole Pradyumna and took him in the air. And then when he was passing over the ocean, he just thought, oh, let me just drop this and finish it. So he dropped the Pradyumna down in the ocean. But then big, powerful fish swallowed Pradyumna. And then fishermen caught him in the net. And I sold the big, amazing fish to this demon. There must be his name here. His name? This man, I forgot. His demon. And then he just saw this big fish. He said, cook it for my dinner, whatever. And then he gave it to the kitchen there. And then when they opened the belly, it was alive. Amazing, beautiful baby inside of the fish. And then this woman who was taking care of kitchen, cooking for him, she was amazed. Where is that beautiful boy coming? But this woman, in her former life, she was the wife of Cupid, who came as a Pradyumna. Her name was Rati. And now in this life, her name was Mayavati. In former life, why Pradyumna was taken? Narada Muni, as we know, is trouble maker often. He told to this demon that you are destined to be killed by Pradyumna. So therefore, he came to try to prevent that, stole him, to kill him. But then this Kandarpa, try to keep attention where we are, Cupid, he was born by Lord Shiva. And then he's got benediction to be born as a Christian son. So when he was, after Parvati left her body in the fourth canto described, and then Shiva was angry and devastated, even to Himalayas, whatever, in his abode, meditating for a long, long time. And then, in the meantime, demons attacked heavenly planets. And they were so powerful, then gods couldn't do anything. And especially one of them, demon, was invincible. And they said, he only can be killed if there is a son born from Shiva and Parvati. He can kill him. See, but Parvati was not present yet, but then later she got born as a daughter of Himalayas, and she came in most enchanting form to break Shiva's meditation. And as soon as she arrived, Shiva could feel that something changed, although he was in meditation. But in that moment, Kandarpa arrived. He was also advised by Lord Indra, go there, any chance you have, shoot the arrow in the heart of Lord Shiva. Kandarpa, Cupid. And in that moment when Shiva felt this strange energy, Kandarpa shot the arrow in his heart. And then his mind changed. And he was thinking, why am I now thinking different? What's going on? When he opened his eyes, he saw Kandarpa. And he knew he is the reason for that. And burning him with his third eyes, completely to ashes. He killed him. But Rati, his wife, she was devastated. She didn't know what to do. But then later she was advised by sages to come pacify Lord Shiva, to restore the body of Kandarpa. So when she arrived, Lord Shiva, funny enough, the same demon who stole him later, he arrived also. He wanted some benediction, God knows what. But when he saw the Rati, beautiful, enchanting girl, he just forgot what he wants, what came for. And only you can see, she asked him, okay, what you want? Because he saw him first. Okay, what you want? He said, I want this woman. Give me this woman. He said, let it be. So he gave him the Rati, but then Rati plead her own for benediction. And she was saying, don't worry, just go with this. I said something, demon over there. Go with him. Shambhara, yeah, go with Shambhara, no problem. All your wishes will be fulfilled. So later on, somebody said that she got reincarnated after her life as a Mayavati who was employed in the kitchen of Shambhara. Somebody said she just changed her name. It doesn't matter. So when she saw this boy there, she was amazed and she took charge of him. But this boy grew very quickly, in a matter of days, into the most beautiful boy. And then suddenly one day, instead of showing maternal affection, she showed some conjugal attraction to him. And then Pradyumna was confused. What's going on, mother? You know, you have, you know, attraction of, I'm confused. And then she told him, in your past life, your husband and wife, you're Cupid, I'm Mayavati, I'm Narati, now I'm Mayavati. And then she told him a story. And then she said, but Shambhara is on the way, you have to kill him. But Shambhara was so powerful demon with all weapons and mystic powers. And then she granted him, Mayavati, granted him the mystic power called Mahamaya. And then he said, go and fight Shambhara. And he went straight away there to fight Shambhara. He said, first thing he came, immediately started to insult him, just to invoke him immediately to fight. You are a demon, you are a monkey, you stink, whatever. And he was furious. He said, he was so angry, like a snake, when you step on a snake. He was so angry, I have experience. When a snake is angry, God said, it's so scary, man. You know, anyway, once in India we were with Parashurama on the boat, and we stayed in one place, island, whatever, and was some burned log there from farmers. And we spent all night there, and in the morning, you know, we wanted to make a fire. And Para was putting some wood there, flame the fire, just, and fire started to blaze, and suddenly he just jumped back, he fell on the ground a few times. When I saw behind him, like a few meters, snake just, you know, snake with rise hooves, tried to bite him. He was just backing up. I was scary, you know. At night, snake entered there under the log because it's warm. Snakes, they like warm places. And he was there, and fire was blazed. She was alert. I don't know what to do. And the snake was just with rise hood. And then, I don't know what to do. I tried to make a few steps towards her, shout or something. But no, she was standing like this. Oh, better don't mess with her. And then suddenly she turned away. And then crawl and jump in the dove in the Ganga. And psh, okay, it was just, oh, so angry. So that snake, that's a Shambhara. He was so angry. And then they were fighting. You know, Pradyumna smashed all his weapon. And finally, he restored to his mystic power. And then, because Pradyumna was empowered, he was able to conquer all this. And then took his sword at some point and whoosh, chop his head. And then at that time, Mayavati or Rati appeared in the sky, took him, and then they went to the Dwaraka, descendant down the world, was amazed because Pradyumna was just like Krishna almost. Even his queens, they were thinking it's Krishna, very conjugal feeling. But then realized, wait a minute, just slightly different. But Rukmini, his wife, I mean his mother, real mother, was thinking, who is that beautiful boy? Who is that? Who is mother who bore this child? You know, he said, my son disappeared long ago when he was 10 days old. In that time, he would be probably the same age. But then her feeling, maternal feeling developed, and then some good omens, like left arm was kind of shaking. She realized it must be Pradyumna. And then, of course, Narada came. Krishna knew. He didn't say anything, but Narada came and narrated all the story. This is a story about Pradyumna in these pastimes. This small fragment. Amazing pastimes. And Aniruddha, you have a few minutes more. Aniruddha in these pastimes, which is in expansion, Lord of the mode of goodness, presiding over the mind. He's mentioned, if you have a problem with the mind, pray to Lord Aniruddha. Devotees don't do this. We don't pray to Aniruddha to sort your mind anyway. That's just, Aniruddha is son of Pradyumna. It's a wonderful story in the Krishna book of Usha, which is daughter of Banasura, demon, somewhere there. So one night, Pradyumna lay to sleep, but on the other side, this Usha, her beautiful daughter, maiden daughter, she had a dream, beautiful boy embracing, playing with him. And then she woke from the dream, "Oh, my darling, where are you?" She was embarrassed because she was hurt by her friends. She was embarrassed, and then her best friend, Chitraleka, who could draw the paintings very quickly, faster than, I don't know, Android camera. She would paint the picture. She said, "Just tell me, who is he?" She said, "I never saw him." She said, "I'll draw the picture, just tell me." And she started to draw the different pictures of different demigods, Gandharvas, demons. "No, no, this one, no, that one, not one." And then she came closer to Yadu dynasty, "No, this one, no." And then when she drew a painting of Krishna, was similar, but not this one. And then she drew a picture of Aniruddha. "Yeah, that one." And then with her mystic power, she went straight to Dwaraka and took Aniruddha, put him in her room. Her room was so protected, nobody could penetrate inside. No man, or nobody. So she put Aniruddha there. There, great time. She was worshipping Aniruddha. She has affairs, enjoying. But then servants could see at some time that Usha doesn't display anymore this childish innocence. She just behaved like a woman who has conjugal relationship with somebody. She could see that. And they ran straight away to Banasura. We told him, he was enraged. He was enraged because to woman to have a relationship with a man without before marriage, just unheard of. He was enraged straight away, ran there in her quarter. He's the only one who was allowed to enter. And then he saw Aniruddha, he saw Usha. In his mind, he was admiring that if he's any man in the three worlds more suitable for my daughter, is him. But still, because of pride, we went there. He said, and Aniruddha didn't have any weapon. He grabbed some iron rod. It was smashing heads of all these soldiers, killing everybody. And then Banasura restored to mystic power, tied him with this Pashunaga snake loop, some kind of rope, mystical, and tied him up, put him in dungeon. But then Narada went to Dwaraka because everyone was wondering, where's Aniruddha? It was like many months passed. He just disappeared. But then Aniruddha told him what's happened. And they told him he's in Banasura's fort, he's in prison. And then they organized Akshauhinis and all these great generals and Balaram and Krishna personally went there straight. It's amazing description how they destroyed the city, fighting with everybody. And on the end, where they killed so many soldiers, Banasura, Krishna, he was engaged in fighting with somebody else, but he can turn to the Banasura to sort him out. He said, he chop his... Banasura got benediction from Lord Shiva to have 1,000 arms. Because he was helping him. When she was dancing, Banasura was playing mridanga. And then he said, what benediction you want? He said, give me 1,000 arms. I gave him that benediction. And after that, after some time, Banasura realized, there's nothing to do with me. There's nobody to fight. You know, I'm keep smashing the mountains. I just know how to be myself. Can you grant me somebody to have a good fight? I said, you rascal, Shiva said, you will find one who will smash your pride. And this was Krishna himself. So he said that with his Sudarshan, he chopped all his hands, like chopping the branches on the tree, like big tree. Only four left on the end. Fight, big fight. And then Banasura flee from the battle. He realized there is no chance. There is one demigoddess who he worshipped in a motherly mood. Like his mother, when she saw that he's losing, she appeared on the scene naked to confuse Krishna. And then Krishna didn't want to look at her. And then that moment, Banasura got a chance to escape. See? And then later on, Lord Shiva by sin. He said, I gave him benediction, I'll protect him in all circumstances. Please be help, you know, help him. But even Krishna, but before that happened, Krishna was fighting even with Shiva, with Banasura, with amazing weapons. Shiva was using a weapon which he uses to destroy the universe, called Shiva Jwar, which creates fire. Everything burns. All universe is burned like a coal on the end of the universe. He uses this fire. But then Lord Krishna uses Vishnu Jwar, which is like a fever weapon, which is cooling weapon, fire weapon, cooling weapon. So he kind of diminished Shiva's power. And then Shiva himself plead on behalf of Banasura, please spare him. And then Krishna spared his life, of course, because he surrendered to Krishna. So, and then he was very happy to give Usha, and Aniruddha married. That's a story of Aniruddha and his pastimes. So these amazing pastimes about Krishna's expansions, much more pleasing to the heart than... And eventually one has to come to that when he analyzes universe. Because if you start to analyze creation, at some point you'll just stuck. Because, you know, in our mind, it cannot fit much. I'll never be able to understand that. I have just kind of brief understanding, you know. But all this intricacy, especially when it comes to creation of modes and elements and, you know, it's just dry. Who needs that? But there are some people who like that. And purpose is to make them happy, to come to these amazing pastimes. Hare Krishna. I'll stop here. Anyone has something to say, please.
Thank you, Prabhu. Introspective. You know, okay, rap attention, eh? You got me there.
Yeah.
Very deep points. But what I was reflecting on is, do you know the snakes? You talk about snakes.
Yeah.
And they're quite, obviously they're quite ferocious and frightening, depending on the encounter you have with them. And like in the Bible, it's stated that a glorious being called Satan was cursed, yeah, and he turned into a serpent.
Yeah.
And then he troubled and tempted mankind, and we fell, yeah, and all that business. So, what about the origin of snake in this material world, according to the Vedic literature? Is there any information about,
yeah,
that?
They're Nagas, Nagaloka, zooplanet. They are evil snakes. They're also good snakes. Lord Sankarsana himself, who supports entire universe as a form of snake, of many-hooded snake, and all universe is mentioned like a white mustard seeds on the head of Sankarsan. So can you imagine how vast it is? So the good snake and bad snake is mentioned that quite few generation of Kshatriyas descending from the Nagaloka, you know. So snakes, you know, this description in the Bible is very... In many ways allegorical, and in many ways symbolic, and is also real facts. So Bible is, to study, you will never be able to understand what does it mean if you study the Bible. You know, so it gives you much more understanding if you study the Vedas. So what is origin of the snakes? There's a planet, Nagaloka, there is, you know, there's regularly, you know, they were visiting each other. You know, I'm not into conspiracies of David Icke or something, you know, reptilians, which could be. Anyway, not. So what is the origin of snakes? They exist, and, you know, in this day and age, because our vibration is very low, Kali Yuga, only evil elements are able to penetrate. Demigods, not interested to come here, even to pass urine, is mentioned. And before, they used to come freely, you could see on the street, Hi Indra, I mean, maybe not like that, Pranam. Hi Indra, Hi Brahma, you know, just so common, everybody could see demigods, everybody. You don't see them nowadays. Maybe they're hidden or they don't interest. But demons are finally allowed to intrude, to come, because of Kali, the agents of Kali. For example, in Duryodhana, the other day, we discussed, when Duryodhana was defeated by Gandharas, and then Arjuna saved him, Bhima saved him. He was so smashed, his faults, he was smashed, he wanted to die. And it was performed austerities. And then these evil entities, lower, from lower region, took him back. He said, listen, your duty is to go and fight. Kurukshetra must happen. We are here to assist you. You are our servant. We are agents of Kali. You are meant to do this. So, you know, these evil entities. So, intrusion is possible in Kali Yuga only from bad side. So, I mean, I don't know the answer to your question, but we're descending Nagas. It's not that this planet is all in all, you know. This is youngest universe in the creation. Our universe is just on the peak of creation. When Mahavishnu breathes out universes, so many universes, millions coming out. And the point when he stops, before he inhales in, our universe is last one. And when he inhales in, he comes back, dissolves everything into its former elements, and again merges into Mahatattva for millions, billions, billions, cannot count, waiting for next creation. So Nagas are here, there, everywhere, you know. Sorry. It's behind you, sorry.
Really, as an observation, you can see that creation has certain species with certain characteristics. And those characteristics, are like monkeys or snakes or whatever, they are of that nature.
Yeah.
So each species has its specific characteristic, like Lord Brahma.
Yeah.
He has a character.
Of course. Our desire gave us our form.
Yeah. So there's a form. And so it's not a case of how did the snakes become evil.
It's nature.
Not that. They've got a nature
comes from... Embodiment of their own nature.
Yeah, so that's right.
Yeah.
And insects,
that's a good point.
Or whatever, and bees, and God knows what. So they've got a specific nature. So whatever we are born we've got a specific nature. So it seems that there are all these species, they have things. It's not why are they angry? Why do tigers eat people?
You're angry and you get form of snake. Do you?
Yeah. It's just one of those things.
Yeah.
All species have a specific characteristic.
Yeah, Krishna.
Yeah,
gives a big warehouse, shopping center. You go there and buy anybody you want. Anything you want to buy. So it's Krishna. Just the same as I said in the beginning. He let us do whatever we want, become whatever we want to see. Will we be happy? That's all. You should just wait. Yeah.
I don't want you to miss the point I was trying to make.
Yeah, yeah.
I was trying to make a connection between the biblical account of the origin of this evil.
Yeah, I
could
understand
snake
that.
And maybe accounts in the, the Srimad Bhagavatam, if they're way out.
Yeah, of course. I mean, in biblical, this is just kind of set of mind. Yeah. Well, set of mind. So, you know, is it because there's a snake? Could be a real snake. But our envy... whatever reason, our enemy starts. And then, besides that, Bible, God knows what's referred to, which creation is a Brahman, or it doesn't matter. You know, it's there to elevate people, to teach them something. So, point is, our mind gets influenced by some way. So,
I mean, so the Bible is symbolic, but it's also real.
Yeah.
You know, and it's, and Prabhupada always, you know, I heard so many times, quote the Bible. I mean, so he accepts the Bible.
It's like, you know, I would like to know, like, originally, said Bible was much bigger, you know. In the 5th century, they changed the Bible a big bunch, cut off so many things, you know.
Okay.
You know, so there was there, definitely. You know, it's just Vedic descriptions, Vedic in Bible as well, but it's... this is cut off.
Yeah, the
version you have now is
thank you.
Okay. Morality.
Thank you, Prabhupada.
Jai. Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Shila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premanande Hari Bol.